This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's get to the Central Regional Reports with AMI Content Development Specialist Karen McGee, who joins us from Morrisburg, Ontario. Karen, how's life near the St. Lawrence River and the 401?
It's wet and it's a comic book day.
What do you mean by a comic book day?
It's a day if you're at camp or cottage, depending on what part of Ontario you're from. You spend the day reading.
Oh, I understand.
And I want to spend the day reading. So like when you're kids, it's comic books, right? So even now, I still call it comic book day.
Okay. And we get more glimpses into the life of Karen McGee. Hey, Karen, let's go a little bit north of where you're at into Ottawa, Ontario, which means that shared e-scooters are going to be popping up on the road again. Karen, before we get into some of the controversies here, I think we need to explain to folks what these e-scooters are, because we don't want them to get people to get confused with mobility devices.
No. So this is a story that was an opinion piece in the Ottawa Citizen by AEBC Ottawa Gatineau chapter president Wayne Antley. So you'd left Ottawa, right? You left Ottawa last February.
That's
deserted
right.
Me. So electric scooters were first made available last summer in Ottawa. So you missed it. But last summer was really quiet around Ottawa. Not many people out and about. I think it was quiet everywhere. So it may not have been a fair time to test them. So the issues with these, they're basically, they look like those little scooters that you would push with your feet,
mm-hmm.
except they're electric. And they're quiet. So you see where you're starting to see where some of the potential issues can be.
Right. So yeah. So we talked about this a little bit on our news panel a couple of weeks ago because the province of British Columbia is experimenting with similar pilot projects. So let's jump into some of these controversies and some of the concerns being brought up around them, Karen.
So even with the fewer people around with COVID and all, there were issues with them. There were many cases of the scooters being illegally parked. They were blocking pedestrian traffic, and they were being used on the sidewalks as well, which they're not supposed to do. So even in your old stomping grounds, I saw some just abandoned on the sidewalk haphazardly. The people at the time they run out, and they just leave them wherever. And keep in mind that they're being used by people who are, I don't want to say children, but 16 and older. So you can get a driver's license, but they're young people. You don't need insurance. They're rented using an app. So there's no face-to-face interaction. Like if you go to rent most equipment, you have to talk to somebody so they can get a feel for you. These are just like an app on the phone. They can get to 20 kilometers an hour as well. So that's faster than I can run. So they aren't slow. And again, like they're electric, so they're quiet. It's like a car. People can't get away. So senior citizens, parents with young children, people with disabilities, they didn't look really safe to me. I saw people sort of in Westboro, where our office is, like scooting in and out on the sidewalk and like basically going in and around people. They tried to use the scooter rental program in Montreal, but stopped it when it became clear that people could not follow the rules. And in Calgary, which has a similar program, there's been an increase in the hundreds of scooter-related emergency room visits. And quite frankly, I'd like to read some of those. Mm. But I didn't think they look like fun, don't get me wrong. I would love to try one. But if they're used incorrectly, they can really be dangerous, not just for the person riding them, but for pedestrians.
And let's be honest, it's also dangerous for the users if they put them out on the road, too, because a lot of the roads are not designed properly for these. Even with bike lanes or divided lanes, there's not necessarily the infrastructure to make this safe for everybody. So there's a lot of concerns here. We did talk about this on the news panel a couple of weeks ago. They are seen as a useful alternative, environmentally friendly, to getting folks around in quick ways. So there is a bit of a balancing act here in regard to the value of these e-scooters.
Yeah.
We don't mean to say that they're not valuable at all, but it requires a bigger conversation about city infrastructure. Karen, you mentioned this was flagged to you by an op-ed you saw about the head of the AEBC, the Alliance for Equality of Blind Canadians, in the newspaper. What advice did they have for the city council?
So they're like you. They see the advantage of them, but they have some advice that I thought was pretty good, having never tried them. Maybe I should go try one. They should be equipped with a device to emit sounds so that pedestrians are aware of the scooter's approach. And we're not talking like bells or horns, because they rely on the users to use them. So something that even if it like ran like beep, like you know, backup things, the beeper, something
mm-hmm,
like that.
Mm-hmm.
The scooter should also have to be parked at designated docking stations before the user's billing period ends. Like I said, I saw one just lying on the sidewalk. Like someone had just dumped it there, and they'll come and collect them eventually, but someone has to call them and say, hey, your scooter's here.
Yeah.
Finally, they should be prevented from riding along sidewalks by either electronic means or if possible through increased enforcement and penalties. You know, they'd be great running down like the parkway, like down by the Oh, what's that parkway that's just north of the office, Dave?
The River Parkway. The Johnny McDonald's Parkway.
Oh, yeah, there's a pathway that runs adjacent to that. I think they'd be great on there. Places where bikes can go. Like you said, bike paths. The City of Toronto is considering allowing these. So they might be coming to a neighborhood near you soon. But the City's Accessibility Advisory Committee has come out against this proposal because of the safety threats we've just talked about. So it's interesting because there is advantages, like you talked about, but there's disadvantages as well. And like with all things, somewhere there's got to be a happy medium. Mm-hmm.
When it comes to emitting noise, I'm willing to offer my services to put my voice on a speaker that just says, scooter, 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 as people go down the street.
So that'll get annoying in about 30 seconds.
That'll work beautifully. That'll work absolutely beautifully. Karen, staying in the world of design and city design and enforcement of city design policies, people with accessible parking permits are facing some issues in no parking zones. So Karen, give us the background here.
So I'm not trying to pick on Ottawa. This is happening in Ottawa. And can I go a little bit behind the curtain of what we used to do in our office?
Mm-hmm.
We used to stand and watch. There used to be street parking in front of our office. And we used to stand in the windows on the fifth floor and look down and see who was parked illegally. And there was one car a few years ago that would always park illegally. Were you there when we were doing that?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So there's one guy who used to park on the other side of the road where there was no parking, but he had a parking permit. And he'd always come back within, an accessible parking permit. And he'd always come back within 4 hours. So if you have one of the accessible parking permit in the City of Ottawa, you are allowed to park for up to 4 hours in a no parking spot. Your permit needs to be properly displayed. And when I say properly displayed, there are very specific ways they are to be displayed. The vehicle's dashboard or sun visor located on the driver's side, and the permit holder must be present and the permit must be up to date. So what sort of started this article that I read again in the Ottawa Citizen, on March 16th, Tomas Mulder, who uses a wheelchair, parked in a no parking zone to go to a medical appointment, as he believed he was allowed to do. When he and his wife returned to the car, they found a ticket for $80 on the windshield. Like, you can pay earlier and it's cheaper, but $80 is a lot of money. He had been there for less than the allotted 4 hours, and the permit was displayed, and he did some research and found other people were having these same issues, so he's not alone in getting what he feels are unfair tickets for parking where he should be allowed to park.
So, Karen, you mentioned some of the ways in which people can display the permits, but what can people do here as a matter of protection or recourse?
So Tomas actually went to his counselor, city counselor, and they were told they would cut the fine in half because according to the ticket officer, the ticket was given because he did not have the permit displayed properly, which, again, he says he did, but we're not here to debate that. Another person who was interviewed for this article had a similar experience. Alicia Magilico also uses a wheelchair and uses her pass to park in downtown Ottawa. So, you know, it gives her, gives her a lot of freedom to park where she can easily access buildings where she needs to go. She follows all the rules and she still gets tickets frequently. So it might be educating some of the ticket givers. I don't want to call them meter maids because that's antiquated.
By law officers.
Thank you. I dated myself there with that term. She's been able to get most of them canceled by simply disputing them, but that takes time.
Right.
And especially during COVID, it's a little trickier because you've got to do everything online. So you need access to computers, you need access to a scanner to get the proof online. So it can be frustrating for people, but I think educating in a lot of things, we talk about educating people, especially in enforcement rules, might help out things in the long run. So that might be the biggest thing there.
Yeah, it takes time and agency to dispute these things, right? Whether it be a court case, whether it be talking to city officials, you have to know what website to go to, what phone number to call. There's a whole process, whereas the process should be upon those handing out the tickets to know what they're looking for in regards to these permits and what the actual laws are. We always talk about training. This needs to be part of the training. It needs to be built in. It needs to be underlined and boldened in the training that if you have the accessible parking permit displayed, you're allowed in this zone for X amount of hours.
Absolutely, because it's a necessity. There are not a lot of accessible parking lots and parking spots in Ottawa. And let's face it, there's always, and I can't swear on the air, people of a certain personality who will park in accessible parking spots who don't have permits.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not even going to get into that. Do you like how I worded that, though? People of a certain personality? I really want to swear.
So, Karen, you said meter maids earlier to describe bylaw officers. You know what we used to call them in Montreal? We used to call them green onions because they used to drive around in these green City of Montreal cars. So we'd call them green onions because they'd make you cry.
I have never heard that, but I love it.
Hey, Karen, always...
Someone who has seen a ticket on her car, I love that.
Karen, always fun catching up with you. Have yourself a nice day, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday for the news quiz.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.